I want to read from Philippians, 4th chapter, 4th verse. Philippians 4, 4th chapter, 4th verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is an anxious world that we live in. It seems as though people play on our anxieties, don't they? Every cable news, there are 24 hours of anxiety. Either they're working on your anxiety and they're working on it through fear and one thing and another. Politicians use the anxiety of people to achieve their ends. And there are many things and situations that make us anxious. There are things to worry about, to be anxious. I kind of listed some of them. Money, the lack of it, or managing what we have, inflation, depression, crime in the streets, white-collar crime, cybercrime, liberal insanity, conservative insanity, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, droughts, wars, rumors of wars, terrorists, suicides, suicide bombers, plane crashes, car crashes, problem kids, problem parents, divorce, separation of spouses, dogs and cats living together, gay marriages, the gay agenda, abortion, euthanasia, heresies, aging, cancers, Alzheimer's, dementia, heart attacks, pedophilia, murder, rape, the outbreak and heartbreak of psoriasis, Ebola, mosquito bites, bed bugs, too many flies, low oil supplies, oil gluts, the price of gas, the price of food, bunions, shortage of toilet paper, illegal immigration, church controversies, layoffs, too little work, too much work, alcoholism, legalism, liberalism, heresy, stagnation, water supplies, pollution, obesity, hardening of the arteries, paranoia, depression, anxiety. I'm sure in Paul's day there was a whole list like that that they could make up. People aren't different and society isn't different. Things to be anxious about. I mean, even cavemen had anxiety, right? Being chased by a cave bear probably was not, it was pretty stressful. Yes. Having to dig around in the ground for roots to feed yourself and wondering if you're going to have enough food to make it through the wintertime and those sorts of things. So there's always been anxiety and worry and something to worry about. But I want to talk about this anxiety and apply a cure that Paul has here for us in this scripture. The first point I've got there, anxiety is born of fear. It says, be anxious for nothing. Well, sometimes we call it concern, or we call it unease or misgiving. And I want you to know, as I'm preaching this, I'm preaching it to myself. Okay. Because I don't like to point fingers at anyone, and I just can't today. Because I get anxious about a lot of things. And they're not those big things here. It's not those big things. It's the little things that drive me crazy. You know, trying to get things ready, and it won't come together. I was working on this sermon. I was trying to find a video that I just can't find. But I was a little frustrated with that. And I wanted to show you, but on YouTube, I don't know if you've been on YouTube, off to the side are these little captions with other videos that are the same subject. I got off into those, one after another, just, and before I knew it, 2 hours was gone. I'm going, what are you doing? And that gives me anxiety when I do things like that. We call it concern or unease or misgiving. The word the Bible uses is merinamno. It means to have care that brings disruption to your personality and mind. It actually means dividing your mind, being distracted. That root word has to do with dividing, to where you're distracted. You can't keep your mind on things because of some thought or something that's going on. And we translate it anxiety in the Bible. It carries a sense of thinking with a divided mind. It's the same word used by Jesus and translated worry. In Matthew 6, this is the word he says when Jesus said, I tell you, do not be anxious for your life. Don't be troubled and disrupted in your mind. Don't be distracted by these things. Don't be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink or for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single moment to their lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil or they spin, but I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so raised the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? I like that. O men of little faith. You know, that's a translator's way. O ye of little faith. It's actually just one single word in the Greek. And it's kind of a name. It says, it means little faith. And that's what Jesus kind of called him a name. You little faith. You little face, why are you worried that God won't take care of you? Why are you worried about that? He used that one time when the disciples were in a boat and they were in this storm. And Jesus wasn't with them. And they saw him come walking to them on the water. Remember in the storm? And the scripture says they supposed or they thought it was a ghost. And they were petrified and terrified. Jesus said, have courage. I am. It's me. And so why were you afraid? Little faith. You see, anxiety is born of a fear. That fear is that God isn't going to help us. Where's Jesus? What am I going to do? I'm powerless against these things that are happening in the world. I can't solve it. I worry about what if, what's going to happen. I suppose it's a ghost in my life. But Jesus can come and say, fear not, I'm here. Do not be afraid. See, Jesus brings courage into our lives by the strength of his presence. But fear brings overwhelming anxiety and a paralysis of mind. You ever hear of a guy by the name of Soji Yoki, Yokoi? I can't. These Japanese names really get me. Well, in 1972, there were these people who were hunting on the island of Guam, a couple of hunters. I don't know what they were hunting for. But they saw this man. Surprised this man out there. And he had a shrimp trap or something else that he had made, and he charged them, you know, like with his bare hands. They had, you know, rifles or shotguns or something. And they just simply just grabbed him and disarmed him. He was not in too good a shape. Ends up that he was a Japanese soldier who had been living in Guam in hiding for 24 years. He had known the war was over for 20 years, but he was afraid to come out of hiding. And he lived in a cave, scratched a living off the land for 24 years. 4 years because he was afraid. He could have had the blessings of amnesty. He was not an officer. He was just a non-com. He was a sergeant of some kind. He would have had an amnesty. He would have been able to participate in the miracle of the rebuilding of Japan. Been with his family and his friends and everything, but because of his fear, he stayed in that cave for 24 years, 1972. So Jesus brings courage in our lives by the strength of his presence. The second point there is anxiety is nurtured by faithlessness. Paul says this, in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. In other words, trust God. Ask God for it. Trust him. This is a picture of faith. The opposite, faithlessness feeds anxiety because it robs us of hope. Let's go back to our story of Jesus walking on the water. What did he tell about them? You little faith. It was their lack of faith that caused this fear, that caused this great anxiety in their life. You know, John Wesley is like my hero. He grew up in the church. He seems like he was always a Christian. He was a very accomplished man. He was highly educated. He was a professor at Oxford University. He endeavored in all his life to do what was right, believed himself to be a Christian, but he never came to the place of real faith for a while. He even decided to go on a missionary trip to America at that time. And he went to the colony of Georgia, and he went to preach to the Indians. He was a complete failure, a flop. In fact, he got sued. He got sued by, well, it was kind of like this. He was in love with this one young lady, and she married someone else. So John Wesley was an Anglican priest, and he refused to give her communion because of his jealousy. And he got sued, and he got prosecuted for that. It's a bad thing. So he had to skedaddle out. So he's on the boat going back home, and they get in this big storm. And he writes in his journal about it. And this is what he wrote in his journal about that storm. I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me? Who? What is he that will deliver me from this evil heart of unbelief? I have a fair summer religion. I can talk well, nay, and believe myself while there's no danger is near. But let death look me in the face, and my spirit is troubled, nor can I say to die is gain. I have a fear of a sin of fear that when I have spun my last thread, I will perish on the shore. I think truly, if the gospel be true, I am safe. I not only have given, but do give all my goods to feed the poor. I not only give my body to be burned, drowned, or whatever God shall appoint for me, but I follow after charity, not as I ought, yet as I am able, if haply I may attain it. I now believe the gospel is true. I show my faith by my works, staking my all upon it. I would do so again and again 1,000 times if the choice were still to make. Whoever sees me sees I would be a Christian. Therefore, are my ways not like other man's ways. Therefore, I have been, I am content to be a byword, a proverb of reproach. But in a storm, I think, what if the gospel be not true? Then thou art of all men most foolish. For what have you given your goods, your ease, your friends, your reputation, your country, your life? For what reason are you wandering over the face of the earth? A dream, a cunningly devised fable. Oh, who will deliver me from this fear? What shall I do? Where shall I flee from it? Should I fight against it by thinking? or by not thinking about it. A wise man advised me sometime since, be still and go on. Perhaps this is best, to look upon it as my cross. When it comes, to let it humble me and quicken all my good resolutions, especially that of praying without ceasing, and at other times to take no thought about it, but quietly to go on to the work of the Lord. How did Wesley break this fear? At a place called Aldersgate Street, where he found his heart strangely warmed, and he found faith, real belief in God, belief that God was going to take care of him, that it was worth it all, that God knew who he was, knew his work, knew everything, and that God was going to take care of him no matter what happened in this life. And when his faith came about, his fear, his anxiety was gone. I think it's the same way with us. With me, just with me. When I believe that God's going to take care of the situation, the fear goes down, the anxiety goes down as the faith goes up. You know, I talked about this before. They're like 2 meters in your heart. When the fear meter goes up, faith meter goes down. When the faith meter goes up, the fear meter goes down. The anxiety meter goes down. It's that believing that God's going to take care of it. I get so upset about what's going on in our country. I'm so concerned, and we need to be concerned about some things. But I get this anxiety about, it seems to be developing a ruling class in the rest of the people. The ruling class that lives by a different law and by a different economy than the rest of the people. And that gives me great anxiety. I look at how the church is being pushed on throughout the whole world, and I see it happening in this country as well. But then God comes to me and says, don't you think I'm still here? I'll take care of you. And when I really believe that God's in control of these situations, Jesus Christ is coming again. He's going to set things right. That he will care for me even to the point of death. God is there and he will take care of me. If I don't have a dime or a nickel in my pocket, God will take care of me. If there's no food in the pantry, God will take care of me. If I'm out of money and I don't know how I'm going to live beyond the next few years, God will take care of me. I wish I had my grandmother here. Her name was Grace. If there was ever a fitting name for anybody, it was a fitting name for my grandmother, my mom's mother. She'd always say, God will take care of me. Well, it could be a tornado coming down the street. God's going to take care of me. Well, Grandma, you might get blown away. God will take care of me if I get blown away. It's all right. And she lived that way. Do you know she would never say anything bad about anybody? I never heard it in her whole life. Oh, wait a minute. She did not. She one time criticized President Truman because he cursed in public. And she didn't like that. She didn't like that at all. But she would never say a bad thing about anybody. She lived to be 96 years old. The last couple of years, the last year of her life, her body was really deteriorating, so she suffered a bit. But in all of that time, she was only sick one day in her whole life. And I remember the day because we all got a hold of something at a restaurant or something, and we got poisoned, basically, and she got sick. But otherwise, she wasn't sick her whole life. She never missed a day. I asked my mom, is that true? She said, yes, she was never sick her whole life. God will take care of me. Her first husband died in the flu epidemic of 1919. What am I going to do? It's a depression coming on then. God took care of her. She got a job at a bakery in Kansas City. The bakery was owned by the husband of her sister. God took care of her. She met a man there, my grandfather, who was the office manager. You see, God always took care of her, and she believed that. Even when times were tough, even when the tornado was coming down the street, I wish I could capture that. You see, this is what Wesley is saying. He wasn't afraid to die. It was just lack of faith in God, that God was going to bring him through death. So Paul says, in everything with prayer and supplication, pray to God, believe in him, trust him with thanksgiving. This is the picture of faith. Have you seen that commercial with a dog worried about his bone? Have you seen that?
Yes.
I think that's one of the greatest commercials around. That poor dog is a worry, 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 worry. And he's got this little balloon thing up over there. He's got that bone. What am I going to do with it? And one of the early types of the commercial, he was burying out in the front yard, and he threw it in there. And as he's walking away from that, another dog was walking by, and he looked at that dog. No, I got to go dig that bone back up. And then he takes it to the bank. He puts it in a safe deposit box. And then he goes home, and he's laying on his bed. He's a little Toto-type dog, you know. And he's laying in his bed, and he's just roiling around in that bed like this, and he's dreaming about that bone. Worry, 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 worry. He goes, takes it out of the way, and the commercial is this. Take the worry out of your life. Trust us. That was the commercial. Because they knew that trust, if you could really trust someone, if he could trust someone with that, then the worry goes out of his life. God says, trust me. Trust me with your life. Trust me with your finances, with your health, with everything. And I'll take care of you. And with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make what you need known unto God and believe him. Well, the third point quickly is anxiety is matured in conflict. Anxiety is matured in conflict. See, what made this point? Paul was making this point, but if you go to the right before it, this is what it says. Two verses before this passage, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And then he goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Why was it? Because when we get into things like conflict, it seems as though fear comes out of the unresolved conflict, and anxiety comes out of that. I've seen many times how conflict will push someone right over the edge with worry. Sometimes our family problems. Well, I worry about my son a lot. And I'm not saying everything turns out okay, but you know, we finally had to come to the place where we trust God. You just got to trust God. Say, God, I can't worry about this. It's tearing me up. I've got to hand him over to you. The child of anxiety is depression. When we worry about things a long, long time, this depression starts coming over us. You see? Now, there are chemical causes of depression. And we can cause a chemical reaction by our mental processes that gives us a depression. And there's good medicine for that. And I believe in medicine, okay? I believe in that. But I also believe this. You need God to give you a cure. The medicine cannot be a cure. And I believe that's so from what I've seen also. Here's Paul's cure. By everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. That word prayer is a word proskunes. It literally means to kiss the feet. It means worship. Prayer, but it's the meaning of that is prayerful worship. By prayer, worship God. Give glory to God. Give thanks. Make everything known with prayer, with worship, and asking, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Supplication, give it up to the Lord. And thanksgiving, remember what God has done and have confidence that he will do so in the future. And then it says, the peace which God gives will guard you. That word means to stand guard as a soldier keeping watch. Peace of God will begin to guard your heart from that anxiety and that messed up feeling that we have. I hate that feeling, don't you? We're worried about something and it's something that's in here and we're just all knotted up and gnarled up and I don't like that feeling. But the peace of God will guard my heart from that feeling. Well, what is the peace of God like? I can't really explain it. But Paul says it surpasses understanding. So I guess I can't understand it, right? But I know this, when I give it up to God, and I say, God, I'm not going to be anxious for this. You have to come in and help me. I'm going to trust you with it. A peace comes over us that's hard to explain. So solve that fear. Know that God is going to take care of you. Trust him with everything. Be at peace with everyone so you can be at peace in your own heart.